listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back visiting with Gordon Chang, our duty expert on matters involving Asia. He is that of many others as well, of course, notably Forbes.com and WorldAffairsJournal.com. You can find him at Fox News. His writings appear with some regularity in places like the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Far East Economic Review. He is also the author of two extraordinarily important books, The Coming Collapse of China and, not least, The Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World, a subject we'll turn to shortly. But Gordon, I want to pick up on this question of what role in current Chinese affairs is the Chinese military playing? This has been, if we're correct, a transformative year for China. That seems to be true in spades for the Chinese military. But talk first about what it's doing to either enable Xi's domination of the Chinese government or perhaps complicate it.
Yeah, the military is considered really to be the base of Xi Jinping's support. And everyone, or virtually everyone, says that Xi Jinping controls the military. But I think that there's an alternative way of looking at this, in that the military is increasingly influential and important for Xi Jinping. We've got to remember that Xi became China's supremo largely because he had no political faction. He was acceptable to all factions, or to put it another way, he was the least unacceptable choice for everybody. Well, that was a great way for becoming general party secretary, but it's not a great way to rule in a communist party that is divided by factions. And so what Xi Jinping has done is tried to make the military his faction. Well, that means he is reliant on the military because they are the base of his political support. And so I think that we have certainly seen signs of the military defying Xi Jinping recently, and that's an indication that flag officers are increasingly independent. They've always exercised some measure of independence. I think it's becoming much more.
So if we're looking at a China that is now increasingly aggressive internationally, Gordon, stitch these various points that you've just made together. Is this for domestic social engineering purposes, maintaining control domestically by arguing that there are foreign threats or foreign challenges? And if so, is that Xi's call, or is it something that the military is demanding of him and he's going along with it? Is it possible to say?
Yeah, I think it's possible to sort of separate these out and say that it's actually both, because Xi Jinping personally believes, from all that we can tell, that he personally believes that China should be much more assertive, should exercise its power and throw its weight around. And also, because you have an increasingly strong military, these guys actually want to use their brand new weapons, as a number of American Pentagon analysts have said in their interactions with the Chinese. These guys are just itching to fight. And you've got to remember that almost none of these flag officers have ever seen combat. The last time China was in combat was in 1979 to 1980. That was the incursion into Vietnam, which was a defeat for the Chinese. And so these guys are not tempered by the horror of war. And they have this assertive arrogance right now, which is not only unbecoming when you look at it, but it's really dangerous. People have compared the Chinese military now of today to the Japanese military in the 1930s, because they're thinking about what they can do, not what they should do.
And let's talk a little bit about what they can do as a result, in part, again, of what we've seen happen in 2014, which is the emergence of really an extraordinary array of capabilities on the part of the Chinese air, land, and sea forces, most especially. Gordon, maybe we could break these down into three component parts: the nuclear forces, the conventional capabilities, and then maybe asymmetric. Let's start with the nuclear. There have been revelations in the course of this year that the Chinese have built something on the order of 3,000 miles of hardened underground tunnels, what has been called the underground Great Wall of China. What does that suggest to you about the investment more generally being made in strategic forces and the potential size and threatening capacity of them?
the size of China's nuclear arsenal is subject to debate, but it's probably larger than most people think. You know, at one point, clearly Beijing had this concept of minimum deterrence, that China would have a small arsenal just to deter. But now it's really changed. And what we have seen is flag officers make threats against other nations. And what was really worrying was last October, Chinese state media in its main platforms, People's Daily, China Central Television, PLA Daily, China Youth Daily, ran identical stories about how Chinese submarines carrying ballistic missiles tipped with nuclear weapons could incinerate 13 American cities, which they named, and also kill off the population of Chicago by radiation. This is really a striking view into the mentality of the people who run China's nuclear forces. You know, this month, if they've not done it before, the Chinese Navy has started deterrence patrols in the South China Sea with their Jin-class submarines.
These would be submarine-launched ballistic missile-equipped submarines that would be capable, conceivably, of doing what they were broadcasting they could do back in October of last year.
Absolutely. And China is working on a new set of boomers, which would be much more quiet. And they're also, of course, building conventional attack submarines. So clearly the Chinese Navy, which I think has gotten the majority or much of the money out of Beijing's defense budget, misnamed defense budget, by the way, this is going to be a problem because the Chinese Navy right now is becoming extremely powerful in Chinese political circles, and the Chinese Navy is really at the tip of these territorial disputes with China's neighbors in the South China Sea as well as in the East China Sea. So this is a Chinese Navy which is dominant in the areas in which it patrols, and certainly is posing a challenge to the United States that we haven't seen really since the end of the Cold War.
Yeah, and that's a challenge that's being manifested both in terms of the numbers of naval platforms and aviation assets that are being brought to bear, but also, Gordon Chang, in terms of the qualitative improvements of those various forces. Talk a little bit about that as it relates to a declining American naval presence in the region, and as you say, the dominant role that China is now playing vis-a-vis others in the region.
The important point here is that China has really made qualitative improvements as well as an increase in the numbers of their platforms. And part of it is because we have tried to help the Chinese develop a better Navy. And this is really an astounding trend. But this is something that we have seen bipartisan in Republican and Democratic administrations. And our military trying to work more closely with China's. And the result of that process is that we transfer very valuable know-how and technology to the Chinese. But of course, they've been stealing it as well. And perhaps the best example of that is China's new stealth fighter, which amazingly looks like our F-35, and which some people say is actually better than our plane. I don't think so, but nonetheless, China has been able to build very, very capable platforms, not only at sea, but in the air, because they have stolen valuable American technology. So there has been this qualitative improvement, which I think has gone largely unnoticed among many people.
And the trouble with all of that is, by virtue of stealing our technology, they have been able to both shorten dramatically the length of time it takes them to put capabilities like ours, or perhaps better than ours, into place, and obviously do so at a fraction of the cost. This is one of the challenges that we're facing in terms of the future threat from China. Gordon Chang is our guest for this full hour to discuss that threat and what it means not only for the region, but for us in the United States as well. We'll have more with Gordon straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.